Following episode depicts violence and murder. Listener discretion is advised. It's around 10 p.m. on November 29th, 1967. 21-year-old Sarah Cox should be boarding a public bus at Clark University. She would be on the bus for roughly 2 miles, and when the bus approaches Lincoln Square, Sarah gets off and starts on foot in the direction of her apartment on Highland Street. She would need to walk about 9 blocks to get home. She never made it. Days later, her frozen, naked body is found in a ditch in a wooded area off Granite Street, over 4 miles away. Sarah had been strangled to death. Welcome to Unsolved Worcester. I'm your host, Dan Yeager. Today's episode marks the start of Season 2 of Unsolved Worcester. The murder of Sarah Cox is among the oldest unsolved murder cases on file with the Worcester Police Department's Detective Bureau. The level of media coverage of Sarah's murder 55 years ago is surprisingly extensive. And that's likely because of a number of factors. Sarah's young age of 21, the promise her life held as a young working woman, the randomness of her violent death, and the days of local news coverage of Sarah's disappearance before her body was found off Granite Street on December 2, 1967. In the late 1960s, the city of Worcester was on what many would call a significant decline. Between 1950 and 1970, the population of the city dropped by nearly 20%, and city residents were being dispersed and neighborhoods broken up as construction of Interstate 290 through the heart of the city was underway. But opportunity was still available in Worcester for those that wanted to work toward it, and on the heels of the Equal Pay Act, the civil and women's rights movements, and the federal government implementing affirmative action, Sarah Cox certainly personified the American working woman in 1967. Sarah was born and raised in nearby Hudson, Massachusetts. She was a graduate of Hudson High School and the Salter Secretarial School. She'd been living in Worcester since her graduation from Secretarial School in 1965. Sarah had an apartment at 196 Highland Street. Sarah's mother, Esther Cox of Hudson, told reporters Sarah was 5 feet 3 inches tall, roughly 130 pounds. Mrs. Cox told reporters that Sarah never went anywhere without telling someone. Sarah was reported missing by her roommate on Wednesday night, November 29, 1967. When Sarah didn't return home after her classes at Clark. A report from the Telegram and Gazette describes Sarah's roommate and Sarah's mother as baffled by her disappearance. Mrs. Cox said Sarah would always call if she was going to be even 15 minutes late, and described her disappearance as completely out of character. At the time of her death, Sarah was working as a secretary for Massachusetts Defenders Incorporated, a public defenders group with an office in the Commerce Bank at 340 Main Street in downtown Worcester. On top of work, Sarah was attending night school at Clark University. Typically, she would leave work on Wednesday evenings and take the bus to Clark. She would arrive at campus just before 6 p.m. and be back on the bus around 10 p.m. to head home. By the time she got on the bus, the closest stop to her home was Lincoln Square, roughly 0.7 miles from her Highland Street apartment. So each Wednesday night, Sarah would have to walk from Lincoln Square to her apartment. Police initially believed that Wednesday, November 29th, 1967, just after 10 p.m., was the last time Sarah was seen alive. But the bus driver told police that Sarah got off the bus carrying books and a bag and headed in the direction of Highland Street. The driver said Sarah was alone, and he didn't see anyone else in Lincoln Square that night. On Friday, December 1st, 1967, Worcester police issued a nationwide alert for Sarah. According to a Telegram and Gazette report from December 2nd, Sarah was last seen wearing a black Chesterfield coat, a dark knee-length coat with a velvet collar, a green wool dress, and black shoes. Sarah was wearing an agogo watch, a gold chain with green jade and matching earrings. Sarah didn't have any clothing on when her body was found in the wooded area off Granite Street. Her body was naked and frozen. Unfortunately for Sarah's family and friends, her frozen body was actually seen by an elderly neighbor on Thursday, November 30th, the day after Sarah was reported missing. However, the 82-year-old woman who saw Sarah's body on a path in the woods was convinced by family members she had only seen a discarded store mannequin. It wasn't until 2 days later, Saturday, December 2nd, that the woman and her daughter went back to the area where Sarah's body lay in the woods and recognized it wasn't a mannequin. When police arrived, they found the body covered by a large piece of cardboard. The elderly woman who found Sarah's body told the Telegram and Gazette that she didn't see the cardboard 2 days earlier. And the figure she had previously mistaken for a mannequin was naked and uncovered. Not only were Sarah's clothes missing, but her large agogo watch was gone too. Her gold necklace was still on her body. One of her earrings was missing. In the days after Sarah's body was found, more discoveries were made, but over 2 miles away in another town. On December 5th, a woman walking to a bus stop at the corner of South Quinsigamond Avenue and Lake Street in Shrewsbury found a part of Sarah's green dress. The next day, December 6th, a team of 17 officers from the Worcester and Shrewsbury Police Departments scoured the wooded area in Shrewsbury, finding more parts of Sarah's dress. Roughly several hundred yards from where the rest of Sarah's dress was found the day before. Police told reporters it appeared Sarah's dress had been thrown into the woods from a moving vehicle. Three detectives even walked from the Granite Street crime scene all the way down Route 20 into Shrewsbury, where Sarah's dress was discovered. Along the way, they found an empty liquor bottle and other small items. What they didn't find was Sarah's agogo watch, her Chesterfield coat, or her black shoes. More than 24 Worcester police officers were assigned to the investigation into Sarah Cox's murder. Roughly 300 people were questioned in the weeks following the discovery of Sarah's body on Granite Street. It was during the first few days of questioning Clark University students the police received their first major lead in the case and turned the whole thing on its head. Less than a week after Sarah's body was discovered, a Clark University student provided enough detail to convince Worcester police that Sarah had never boarded a bus on the night she disappeared. Instead, according to the student's account, Sarah was seen waiting at the corner of Main Street and Gate Street, across from Clark's main campus entrance, presumably waiting for someone she knew to give her a ride home. Police once again questioned the bus driver, who had originally believed Sarah was picked up in front of Clark University and dropped off at Lincoln Square the night she went missing. However, the driver said he made a mistake and picked up another girl that looked just like Sarah. The other girl was waiting for the bus just two blocks away from where Sarah was last seen by the Clark student. And as we have seen several times already, and in similar cases on Unsolved Worcester, police concluded that Sarah got in a car with someone she knew after classes on the night she went missing. And then other important pieces of the murder case quickly came into place. The autopsy came back about a week after Sarah's body was found, determining the cause of death to be strangulation. There were no signs of struggle at the crime scene. The autopsy showed Sarah wasn't sexually assaulted, and police believed she was murdered somewhere else, maybe in the suspect's vehicle, before her body was dropped in the woods, surrounded by discarded and dumped household trash. What we haven't shared up to this point is that Sarah Cox was one of three women murdered in a 12-month period, all within a 3-mile radius of each other, with striking similarities in the manner in which they were killed. On April 26, 1967, a little over 6 months before Sarah's body was found off Granite Street, the nude body of a 55-year-old Teresa Borbone was discovered in the cellar of her Millbury home. Teresa had been strangled to death. Her body was covered in old rugs. Some of her clothes had been stolen from the scene of the crime. Police believe Teresa's murderer strangled her with the rope from her own clothesline. Teresa's murder remains unsolved. Four months after Sarah Cox's body was found, Easter Sunday, April 14, 1968, police discovered the body of 17-year-old Phyllis Ann Morissette of Blackstone, face down in Geese Pond, behind Providence Street Junior High School in Worcester. Phyllis's body was found just over a mile from where Sarah's body was found. Like Sarah and Teresa, Phyllis also had been strangled. Unlike the murders of Sarah and Teresa, Phyllis was found fully clothed, and she had been raped. Within a week, Worcester police had a suspect in Phyllis's murder. Tune in on Tuesday as we take a deep dive into the murder of Phyllis Ann Morissette on April 14, 1968. And we look at the life of John G. Farrell, a 24-year-old man from Worcester with a long history of rape and assault charges, and his arrest and trial at Phyllis's murder. Thank you for listening. I'm Dan Yeager. Anyone with information about the murder of Sarah Cox are asked to contact the Worcester Police Detective Bureau at 508-799-8651 or send an anonymous text to 274-637. Write TIPWPD plus your message or send an anonymous web-based message at worcesterma.gov/police. Be sure to visit Unsolved Worcester on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Unsolved Worcester. Listen to all episodes for free at unsolvedworcester.com and podcast streaming platforms including Spotify, iTunes, and more. Special thanks to the Worcester Public Library, the Worcester Police Department, the City of Worcester, Ron Scott at New England Skypics, and our sponsors for making this possible. The Unsolved Worcester podcast music was provided by Tom LeBelzik of the Worcester Jazz Collective. This episode of Unsolved Worcester is written and produced by Pat Sargent. Drone footage provided by New England Skypix. Videography and editing by Colin Turner. Victim images are courtesy of the Worcester Police Department. Sponsorship information announcer Chandler Walsh. Be sure to check out the video for this episode with exclusive aerial views and more on our Unsolved Worcester YouTube page. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button.